you for coming from Amy and me and the kids and our family. We appreciate it. And for pouring into Ruthie's life, whatever part you had, we appreciate that too. So thank you. Well, today we are covering another chapter in our Believe book, and I'll tell you about the Believe book in a second. You all should know, but I'll tell you again. But first, I would like you to think, how did you come to know about the gospel? How did you come to hear about God or first know God? I would bet that most of us probably were told by someone. Someone had to come and share words with us about what the good news was. Yeah, you can say, well, I'm a bookworm, I read it, and the Holy Spirit convicted me. That does happen, but it's so small. I would say most of us probably were talked to by someone that was willing to share their life. Well, in the beginning of our chapter, this is how he introduces it. We believe the one true God has unfolded his grand plan to provide the salvation through Jesus Christ. We believe God loves all people and extends an invitation to everyone to receive eternal life. We believe there is a heaven and that there is a hell. And that Jesus is returning to judge the earth and establish his eternal kingdom. Only those who receive salvation of faith in Christ in this life will be a part of the eternal life to come. And what he means is the eternal life of peace with God. Because all of us have eternal life. It's depending on our decision whether we believe what God has done and the way he's given or we don't. The eternal life for those that don't believe is eternal judgment. And it's not good. We believe God has purposed the church to be the primary ambassador to spread this message, this good news to the world. Because of these values, we commit ourselves to sharing our faith. So how do we share our faith with those who don't know God? That is the beginning of our chapter. Did you know that for more than 2,000 years, Christianity has been one generation away from extinction? One generation away from extinction. That seems like a pretty stupid plan, doesn't it? You want to make something that lasts, but God made this plan and it's one generation from extinction. But how are we 2,000 years after the fact still talking about it? Just because God has given us this plan, he's in it. It keeps working. It keeps moving forward. Do people still die without a relationship with Christ? Certainly, and sadly. But even still, our mission is simple. Tell the message to all that we can. Well, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for helping me be able to have good people to pour into my life, to give me encouragement and advice. Thank you for allowing me to write down the words. But God, I ask you that the words are yours and that you open hearts to be able to understand what you have to say and to be pricked to know that if they accept that there's good news that they know, why keep it to themselves? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our last part, did you know that believe is three parts? Probably not, because I've not done too good at telling you that. But the very first one is think. And we talked about 10 reasons or 10 doctrines. Didn't know you were learning about doctrines here, right? 10 beliefs we have about God and about Christianity, about the Bible, and what it means. The second section was act. How do you act upon those? So we've been learning about how to share our faith, how to pray, how to live for God, how to share of our resources and our time. The next one will start actually on April Fool's Day, is about being a Christ follower. And I know that you'll probably wonder why we're doing Believe on Easter Sunday. Well, the topic is love. And it's not a fool's love. It is God's love. So it worked too completely for us to be able to hear from God as we continue to study what he wants us to believe. Well, in this chapter, it's chapter 20, the very last page of it, which is 335, is where our passage is. Catastrophically, and this is really the crux of all things, the relationship that man and woman had with Jesus, just like Kent said this morning, was broken, just like this pane of glass. When Adam and Eve said, "Nah, I don't want to do what you ask me to do. I want to do my own thing." They put their will over God. Essentially, they kicked God out of his throne and started sitting at it themselves. They said, "No, I'm my own boss. I do what I want to do. I'm not going to change for you." And that relationship, that perfect relationship, was broken. This connection that God originally intended when he created people was severed. So God unfolded a plan to provide the way for all people to come back into a relationship with him. If we look at the Bible as a whole, did you know the Bible can be summarized? I know we looked at it a year ago for the whole year, but here's the summary. God desires to restore our relationship with him. And the Bible tells us how he does it. That's it. It's all about God's relationship with us and how he's continuing to call and get us back. Sometimes we don't care about that. We do what we want. Well, God's plan, like I said from the beginning, has always been flawed from our perspective. The flaw? He uses us. He uses people to build his buildings, his kingdom, his church. We're angry, we hurt people, we fail, we're bitter, we hate. We are not good representatives. So it sounds like a really bad plan. But God does that so that we can be transformed, our lives can be made new, and when others talk to us, we can be examples of what it means to be a Jesus follower. So when he uses us, these are the kind of things that are produced. Yeah, not buildings in Dubai, but magnificent things that he uses to bring beauty and glory to his name. So he uses people. He uses you and me to make a difference for him. See, God doesn't care that we think his plan's a failure, because he's going to do it anyway. Like Kent said, day one, well, whatever day it was, when Adam and Eve sinned, God promised that he would send a Savior that would crush Satan. So this is what we're continuing to proclaim. The church, that's not this building. That is the body of Christ, all people that believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. They're the ones that he sends out. Well, our passage is Romans 10, chapter, well, I already told you that. Romans chapter 10, and it's verses 14 through 17. So if you want to turn there, great. There are Pew Bibles, too, if you don't have yours. And while you're doing that, I will give you the context. Paul is writing to the church in Rome at this time. And this church wasn't built by the apostles. It happened to be built by Jews that were in Jerusalem at the time of Pentecost. And they heard Peter talking out loud in their own languages about the Savior, the Messiah that was long awaited, that had come to rescue them from their sins. So they went home to Rome and they started this church. Well, the Gentiles, those are not Jews, Gentiles started coming in and they had a thriving church. But in 49 AD, Emperor Claudius, I believe, he kicked everyone out that was a Jew out of Rome because of a little disagreement. So the Gentiles were running the church. And then after he died, the Jews came back. There was still disunity. So this is kind of the context of what's going on. There is disunity, and Paul, the author, is teaching them about how you live for Christ. What you do, what's the very basic things that you need to do? And I'm going to be reading out of our Believe book, which follows the NIV. And let's start with verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Jesus Christ. Well, I picked up a few things in this passage, and the very first one was verse 14. There's a missing component. He's asking four how questions. How? Sounds like a little kid. Oh, and by the way, my nephew Ray is here. He's a great guy. I'm glad you're here. But it's like when Ray asks us how things work. It's over and over, and there is an answer. But see, we don't know what the answer is. But here's a news flash. It's not Facebook Messenger, but the word that's on the screen is accurate. It is being a messenger. And you know who the messenger is? It's you and me. It's us. What God asks us to do is preach his word. It's not like what I'm doing, yeah, that's called preaching or teaching. But you're actually preachers too when you talk to others about Jesus. God doesn't say, well, just Ivan, you have to share your faith. Everyone else can just sit on the log. That's not what God says, because he sends us all out. Paul, he presents a domino trail of necessary actions. So it's like when you set up dominoes in a row and you push the first one and they start to all trickle down. That's exactly what sharing your faith does. And Paul, he wanted to do that too. The non-Jews, that's where God called them to. It means that someone must go to preach, and if messengers aren't sent, no one can respond. So then the second thing is, what do you do? Well, you have to bring the good news. So what is the good news? Well, the good news is the fact that the severed relationship we had with God can be restored, that this world is not all there is, and that we don't have to work to be made perfect in Jesus' sight because what Jesus did through his death and resurrection. So if you want to boil down the good news is we sinned, God made a plan, and if we believe, we have a relationship with him. Those are the three things, but you have to accept that we sinned. You have to accept that God made a plan and only God's works. And if you believe, you're perfect in his sight. That's the good news. And yet, we think of it as like fire insurance. How many of you have ever looked at your home insurance policies? Okay, I looked at it when I first got it. And State Farm says, okay, well, if your house burns down, we'll give you 25% over value. I don't believe it. But it's there. That's kind of like we treat this good news. Oh, it's so good, I keep it locked in a safe for when I have a fire. That's not what God wants us to do. It's not an insurance policy. It should be a life-transforming policy. It should make us a better person. And in turn, people look at us and wonder why. Well, there's a logical progression here. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and I want you to answer. Are you ready? How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? Any answer? They can't. Okay, good job. And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? They can't. Okay, you're getting there. I have two more questions, and you know the answer might be the same. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? They can't. You guys are good. This is the test that Kent was talking about, Richard. And you got it. Okay, the very last one. How are they to preach unless they are sent? They can't. Yeah, they can't. There's no way to do it. So things are doomed if they stay the way they are. But God is not content with that. God is not content and willing for any to perish, but that all could come to him in repentance and forgiveness of their sins. So how does God propose to do this with his flawed plan, like I said, with us holding up the building? Well, he does it through Matthew 28, 19 through 20. It says, Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. And then Hebrews 13, 21, God explains that his followers are equipped to do his will. So, if you believe what Jesus has done, you are now called a Christian, which means a little Christ, which should mean a Jesus follower. If you are a Jesus follower, you are called a disciple. And Jesus sent you out in Matthew 28, 19 through 20 to go into all the world. That's not extrapolation, because he is talking to his disciples, and we are disciples. In Hebrews, he says he equips his disciples for every good work. We are disciples, sent and equipped. Here's objections. I have heard them. The very first one, I am not a people person. How about, I'm not good with words? Or, I'm a quiet person. I'm a quiet person. I don't know anyone. And then here's one I think probably gets us the most, is I don't have time. I don't have the time to bother with that. All of these objections are what we call a straw man argument or a straw man fallacy. This person made of straw is put up so you can argue against it. But the scarecrow, there's nothing living to it. That means your arguments are flawed. I'm sorry to point that out, because I have thought them myself, and my arguments are flawed. God knows that all people that say, yes, I'm with Jesus, are called to tell others about that. So if you've said, yes, I'm with Jesus, you're called to tell others about that. You realize that having your sins removed forever makes you flawless before God. Those things are the good message. When it says how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, beautiful is kind of a weirdy term, but it actually means timely or at the right time a beneficial message is being shared. Or in even more layman's terms, they brought the right word at the right time and it was good. That's what God has asked us to do, to share this. Well, I want to tell you that how people respond is not your problem. You don't have to worry about that. You do want to try to not tick them off. And the reason I say that is because a lot of times we choose aggressive terms with people. We don't think about what they might think or feel. Ask God to help you have the words to say to talk to people. And then say it, but don't worry about, oh, well, I'm judgmental. I'm critical. I'm all this. If you're saying I'm a Jesus follower and Jesus said it, I believe it, but I want you to know about it. It's up to God. And in verses 16 through 17, it says it. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of Christ. Paul uses Isaiah 53:1, which says, who has believed our message and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You see, Israel, the people of God, they were told time and time again that God is real, that he loves them, that he has a perfect plan for them. But they rejected him continually. They didn't want any part of him, and they didn't want any part of the Messiah that he provided. It should come as no great surprise then when people don't believe when we tell them. It's how it's always been. But it doesn't stop us from doing it. because each and every person will stand alone before God in judgment. And this judgment isn't just going to the court and saying, that's what I decree. Winston's done that a lot. But when life ends, only God's judgment will last. Winston's has a lifespan. The decrees do not last forever. But God's, on the other hand, does. So if we say, God, I don't want anything to do with you here on earth, God is not going to force us to have anything to do with him forever. What kind of hellish torment would it be to be with the person you hate and despise forever and ever? But on the other hand, God reaches out continually. Romans 1 says, the heavens, well, that's Psalms, the heavens declare the glory of God. But Romans 1 says we're without excuse because he puts his handiwork all around us. Faith comes by hearing the message of Christ. Well, if people might respond with disbelief, you know, people might respond with belief because the Holy Spirit has kind of primed their heart. I want to read verses 9 through 13 of the same chapter. And this is what it says. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on his name, the name of the Lord, shall be saved. So we don't know. A person might believe or they might not. Well, here, I'll sum it all up for you. You are called. You are equipped. You are sent, and you're not in charge of the results. I don't know if you read the newspaper this week, but the Blockbuster in our North Pole is closing. It's kind of lame because our internet is not super great out there, so we would rent DVDs. But they're closing, and I happened to go there because I had to do some returns, but they were selling all their stuff, and there's some old rentals that I needed, I hoped. I got them. But when I walked in the door, someone was there from the newspaper wanting to ask our thoughts on everything. So I said whatever they asked. But then it started to come up about, what is hope? How do I raise my kids? What is life? Like, what are these big things? Yeah, I'm not a religious person, they said. But I found value in what there is in the Bible. To me, those videos that I can really buy off of eBay and Amazon became secondary. God had me in that place for some reason to say that whatever it was. So sometimes God calls you into these places to do something and to say something. And sometimes he calls you into these places to just be quiet, but smile and enjoy and appreciate the person. Because we've sat for a little while, raise your hand if you've ever heard of Mr. Rogers. Ray, I am glad you heard of him. Well, this was my devotion for today, and actually I was talking about his book, The Quiet Faith of Mr. Rogers. Celebrate the 50th anniversary of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood with an inside look on Mr. Rogers' spiritual legacy. It shows us a man who, to paraphrase the words of St. Francis of Assisi, preached the gospel at all times. When necessary, he used words. For over 30 years, Fred Rogers visited so quietly with the children of America that nobody dreamed he was a Presbyterian minister. Using puppets instead of a pulpit, this icon of children's television shared with America's youngsters the basic principles of the Christian faith: forgiveness, kindness, compassion, and respect, and made those values real for his audience. That's pretty cool. Do you think you could do that? Well, here, we could stop here, but I feel that there's just a little bit more to help so you could know how to share your faith. You need to realize first that you have a timely message. You have an important message that needs to be told. Whether it's an older person, whether it's a middle-aged person, or whether it's someone as cool as my nephew Ray, we don't know how much time we have, and we know we have an important message. The Bible says over and over that there will be a final judgment before God, and no one can avoid it. Only those who are judged righteous through Jesus' blood shed on the cross will be found not guilty. We only have our time on earth here in which to make things right. But as we heard this week in our email chain about a death, a sudden death, and as the memorial yesterday showed us, we don't know the time that God has when we will be required to give our last breath. I have seen last breaths. They're not as glorious as you would think. But we all will have that. Only this opportunity we have now, this thing we call life, will make the difference. God wants you to be his lifeline, and I know he's uniquely placed you many, many times in the path of someone else that he wants you to be a minister, a preacher, a friend with. Well, my aunt and uncle are here, Amy's. Tim and Bev, they are over there. I won't make them wave, but they are over there, if you want to look at them. They lived in the Middle East, and they also were some Awana missionaries there. But over in the Middle East, it's a very dark and oppressive land. You can't talk about God, the real one true God. You can't talk about Jesus out loud. Or for ones that, like Americans that come in, you'll get kicked out. For ones that live there, who knows what'll happen. So how do you witness, how do you tell people about the good news when you can't do anything about it verbally? Well, I'll tell you what they have discovered through Christ and the Holy Spirit. First, you smile at people. In this world, people normally don't smile. They can't be bothered. But by smiling, you might be the only joy that person has in the day. Could be a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Secondly, they learned you look someone in the eye. When you talk to them, you don't kind of just look all around, but you just look in their eye. And the reason you do that is because it shows that you're truly interested in them as a person. I know I don't have to say it, but everybody has a story. Everybody, every single person in the world wants to feel special. I kind of think that's why Mr. Rogers resonated with people, because he said, you are special because you are you. We know you are special because you have been made in the image of God. But see, the prince of this world, Satan, he has us acting like those around us are not special and not worth our time. We don't stop our lives to be kind or even notice them. But I can tell you how you can break his oppression. You actively care about the people you come into contact with. Eye contact helps. And then the third thing they learned is not this. Isn't this always how we are? Hello, my name is, I already forgot your name. Sadly, I've shaken people's hands, and if I don't have my mindset right, they say their name, and I repeat it, but I don't even know what I'm saying. I know that this happens a lot, and it takes effort to remember a person's name, to remember who they are. Accidentally, I've had some times when I would forget a person's name, even though I knew them for so long. And you know what would happen if that came up? They would be sad. They would basically wonder, do you really even know me? But on the other hand, when you remember a person's name, it can make a person feel like you know them, like you appreciate and value them. So by remembering their names, that's another way you can do it. So then what can happen? Well, the last example was how this lived out. Bev and Tim would go to a burger restaurant over there. And it sounds like a funny mission field. But God called them to this burger restaurant. And they went diligently. I'm totally kidding. They did go. But while they were there, they were able to make relationships with the people there because they smiled, they had eye contact, and they remembered their names. So when it was time for them to leave on their last time of being there, they got everyone together, all of the workers, every single one of them, and the main guy said, "Oh, just a second." And he ran back into the kitchen and got their most prized and treasured show knife that was worth a lot. And they came out and presented it to them. Because they invested in them, they had relationships, and they did never say the J word. Well, Bev happened to go back a year later, and when she walked in, do you know what happened? Everyone shouted and said, "She is home." So sometimes God has you just be yourself. But in order to do that, you have to have time. You see, my friends, our objections, they're pretty sad. If we truly are Jesus followers and realize the great gifts we have been given, we should want to tell other people about it. We shouldn't try to avoid sharing the good news. We can't be bumps on a log waiting for the rapture to take us. I think a lot of times we are. We become petrified, just waiting. You know, that kind of makes us no different than rocks. But there's a very important difference. The rocks will break their silence. They will be the ones to glorify and praise God if we do not. My mother-in-law, Ruthie, she probably didn't feel like she had much of a testimony. And I know that she struggled with realizing how God could unconditionally love her. But she knew that her Savior lived. She knew that she followed a good shepherd that cared for her and sacrificed himself to save her. When she was diagnosed with fatal cancer, she had one desire. "I want my cancer to be used to bring glory to God." As long as you have breath, you can share your faith. She was dying of cancer, and yet she told people about God. My grandmother has been bedbound for 7+ years, and yet she calls people and prays with them over the phone. She sings to them, and she remembers even when she can't reach out to them, she prays. Boy, we do not do a good job. You know, every single one of us walked in here today. All of us are breathing. All of us are able to talk. And yet we're just like petrified wood. We just sit there while the world is going to hell. So what can we do? We need to do something. And God sometimes calls us to do things that are really hard. But a lot of times he uses our personality and our circumstances to reach the person, like a coworker, that you're already in a relationship with. God knows that belief in Christ is just one generation from extinction. But he has called you, he has equipped you, and he wants you to tell the world about his love for them. That's what it means to share your faith. To get out of yourself, out of your little world, and realize the world around us is what God has called us to. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you've given us the opportunity to know your love. Sometimes we hide that. Sometimes we put it in a box so that we can pull you out when we need a comforting hand. But God, I ask you to obliterate that box. To come out in full force so that your love overflows in our life and that it overflows into those we come into contact with. Whether it's at a Blockbuster North Pole, at a convenience store in Wisconsin, at a bedside in Florida, or all around the world. God, help us to be able to smile, have eye contact, and remember people's names, not for our own glory, but so that we can do our best to honor you as Jesus followers. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I would like to leave you with a final verse. So if you wouldn't mind standing while I turn to it. It's actually found in John chapter 4. And Jesus, he went to these despised people. The Jews hated them, the Samaritans. And he went and he talked to them. And he talked to this woman who he knew had five husbands. And he told her things that she knew about herself, but she never told anyone else. But she went back to her village and she told the people to come back to listen to Jesus. And this is what they said. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 more days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, but we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of God." Is asking you to talk to people so they can hear it for themselves, to know that Jesus is the Savior of the world. It is good to see you, and you're dismissed.